بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم فاذكروني أذكركم واشكروا لي ولا تكفرون. Remember me and I will remember you. So when Allah Ta'ala says remember me, then what is the meaning of remembrance? Thinking, remembering is an act of the mind. So only engaging the tongue in a love of remembrance and the heart being absent-minded is not complete zikr. And engaging the mind but not doing a verbal zikr, although it's a zikr, but the mind can easily stray away. Imagine a person is meditating, right? Silently, in his mind he is meditating. So it's very easy for his mind to stray away. And after 10 minutes perhaps he'll realize, okay, my mind has strayed away. What I was thinking of, where am I going to? But if that zikr is supported with a verbal zikr, then he's got the strength, that coordination, and with that coordination now the zikr becomes strong. So if the mind went off, the tongue is supporting, and if the tongue is only reciting but the mind is gone off, at least one limb is engaged in the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. So the word is first Quruni, remember me. So how are you going to remember Allah Ta'ala? Remember him on account of his favors upon you. Here Allah Ta'ala is speaking mainly about two great favors. One is that he's favored you with the direction of the Kaaba Sharif. That was the original direction of all the Anbiya from Adam alayhi salam.
Right.
And it ended with Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam. It means till the end of time. There is no Nabi after him, so there is not going to be any redirection. For a short period, an interim period, the Nabi sallallahu alayhi wasallam was asked to face towards the Bayt al-Muqaddas approximately 16 or 17 months. And there was great wisdom in this, because for some time this was the center of the Anbiya alayhi salam. So Allah Ta'ala has made Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam the Nabi of the Anbiya, Sayyidul Anbiya. Ana Sayyidu Wuldi Adam Wala Fakhr Wa Adamu Wa Ma Siwahu Tahta Diwa'i Yawm Al-Qiyamah. I am the head of all the Anbiya. I'm not saying this because of pride, but because I am divinely instructed. Adam alayhi salam and all the Anbiya apart from Adam alayhi salam will be under my banner on the day of Qiyamah. So when Nabi Sam is the Nabi of the Anbiya, Sayyidul Anbiya, so the greatness in him must encapsulate the greatness of all the Anbiya. All were lights, all were bright, and all the Anbiya were kamil, perfect. No Nabi was naqis, na'uzu billah. Each Nabi was perfect. Everyone, whoever it was, but he was perfect. But in the perfection, the highest level of perfection was the perfection of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Each one was perfect, but then there's a rating who was even more perfect, and who was even greater. So the greatest was Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. So each one had the light. Ibrahim Alayhi Salam, when he was told that I'm going to appoint you as a leader, Allah announced to him, Inni ja'iluka linnasi imama. So Ibrahim alayhi salam requested, he pleaded, wa min dhurriyati, and O Allah Ta'ala, appoint leaders in my progeny as well. So his progeny on the one side is Ishaq alayhi salam, Then on the other side is Ismail alayhi salam. In Ishaq alayhi salam, then you come all, you get all the Anbiya of the Bani Israel. You see, there are thousands of Anbiya sent just to the Bani Israel. Thousands of Anbiya, and dedicated only to the Anbiya, only to the Bani Israel. So this is how Hazrat Ibrahim alayhi salam's answer was, his dua was answered, right? Then in the progeny of Ismail alayhi salam, just this one Nabi, and that is Rasulullah. So the greatness that came about here was in this manner. Just think of the heaven, right? And you see thousands and thousands and millions of stars around, right? Don't you see that in a bright night, you see all the stars coming up. Dark night, you see all the stars glittering, shining. But when the sun comes out, everything's light is overwhelmed. There's just one sun, but it overwhelmed everything else. So the star was perfect in its own respect, but this came to overwhelm everything else. So that is why, now, when it's overwhelming, it sort of terminated everybody else. So Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's Nubuwat terminated every other Nubuwat prior to him. Every Nubuwat has got terminated. When it's terminated, it's like a medication that has been expired. Now when it's expired medication, and if the doctor has got it on its shelf, then perhaps they'll move him out, they'll break him out of the list of doctors. They'll pull him out. Won't they do that? This is fatal, it's poison now. This is expired medication and you got it on your shelf. You're prescribing it to your, or you're giving it to your patients. They may just delist him. They may just throw him out. So, though the medication was good, effective in its own time, but when it expired now, nice danger. The same medication was good in its time. And the same medication now is expired, now it's fatal, it's disastrous. So this was good, it would have saved you in a time. But when the time has expired, now the same thing will prove to be fatal. See, time. So Allah Ta'ala blessed Ismail Islam in this manner. And Allah Ta'ala blessed Ishaq Islam in this manner. Now, we don't need to engage our minds why this person was blessed like this, why he was blessed like this. It's not our job. Apna kaam karo, bhai, do your work. You go to any government department and you ask the officials, by in a busy now, you can see they're all queued up, all their work. And you ask for an official, why are you sitting here? Why aren't you sitting at the head? So what do you came for? You have a passport, do your work and go. Won't they give you that response? They're too busy to answer this type of questions. So a small little human being, he feels that it's not your place for you to ask that question. Then how do you think that you deserve, or you eligible to ask Allah Ta'ala, why was this person blessed with some type of superiority and why was I made inferior? It's not your business, it doesn't concern you, just leave it out, do your work and carry on. In this day and time, there's one great problem that has come up, is that each one wants to know things that are not related to him. See, in the same masla of the Qibla, so Allah Ta'ala says, لِكُلِّنْ وِجْهَةٌ هُوَ مُوَلِّيهَا. Each one has a direction that he turns to. Each one has a direction which he turns to. So, the Jews have got a direction, whether in the East or Baitul Muqaddas, Christians have got a direction. But Allah Ta'ala is warning the believers that don't get into this discussion now. Because وَأَنْتَ بِتَابِعٍ قِبْلَتَهُمْ. Your Qibla has been declared to be the final Qibla, the eternal Qibla, and there's not going to be any cancellations to this. So there's no need for you to entertain this discussion. What are you going to get out of it? مَا أَنْتَ بِتَابِعٍ قِبْلَتَهُمْ وَمَا بَعْدُهُمْ بِتَابِعٍ قِبْلَتَ بَعْدِ. They're not going to listen to you, because the whole reasoning is off. Their reasoning is, We want to hold on to ancestral customs. That's the Jew and the Christian. He wants to hold on to ancestral customs. And we say that this is not the criteria. Holding on to ancestral customs, not the criteria. The criteria is that مَنْ أَسْلَمَ وَجْهَهُ لِلَّهِ, that you surrender yourself. That's the criteria. Now, one person, he said, no, my benchmark, my standard is ancestral custom, my family lineage. So I have to adore that, I have to respect that, my family lineage. So he held on to that very firmly, family lineage. So then, what the Judaism turned around to be, now today as Judaism, as we know it, right, the greater thing in Judaism is that, do you belong to a Jewish family? Right. So you have all the rights and all the privileges. It's your lineage now to Mr. Goldsmith, right? So is your lineage now reaching up to him? If it's reaching up to him, then you secure. So whether you conform to the teaching of the Torah or not, that's immaterial. You can be dancing with women, flirting around, drinking, talking, doing everything, it's alright. But as long as you come from that same lineage, what a Jewish name, you secure now. So it went to completely an ancestral thing. Nothing to do with religion, just an ancestral thing. So that's the end of Judaism. So if you fall within that ancestry, then you are chucked in. You don't fall within that ancestry, then you are thrown out. Then Christianity, what's the end of Christianity? The end of Christianity was that Christ died for your sins. So, now, once you get into Christianity, then getting into Christianity is a license for you to do any guna, all sin, any sin. Because why? He died for your sins. So, any type of guna, you murder, kill, rape, drink, do everything, you must pay the tithe to the priest at the end of the week, and he died for your sins. So everything is maaf. Everything is maaf. Whatever you can do now is maaf. Now that goes total against reasoning. Both ways went against reasoning. Because if it is ancestral superiority, right, then this type of reasoning is not right. Why? You say, قُلَ تُحَاجُّونَنَا فِي اللَّهِ وَهُوَ رَبُّنَا وَرَبُّكُمْ. In Allah Ta'ala being our Rabb, whether Jew, Christian, Muslim, Hindu, Buddhist, whatever, right, don't we all share the same Rabb? Don't we all share the same Rabb? Whoever you are, but you share one Rabb. When you share the same Rabb, then the criteria will be the same. It's a different thing that he's going with one Rabb, he's going with another Rabb, and he's going with a third Rabb. But when we all sharing the same Rabb, then the criteria that will be given out will be the same. Otherwise you will say that na'uzubillah, that Rabb is not fair. He's got a different benchmark, you've got a different benchmark, you've got a different standard. So you say that the criteria is not right. But when you accept in principle, you accept that he is the Rabb, whether it is Christian, Jew, whoever it is, but it is the same Rabb that we worship, then the way that he has dispensed also is the same. There's no difference in that. So this ancestral privilege of superiority, that's off, illogical. So you have to just throw it out. And this atoning for someone else, it doesn't work in this world, doesn't work anywhere. Can you go and commit murder and shift the blame to your son or to your worker or to any other person? You committed the crime, but now you come to court saying, I did commit the crime, but I'm shifting the problem, the whole crime, to this person here. Will any court that's worth its name, will any court accept this? This is totally unjust. That means the man has got wealth, then he can keep shifting the blame to any person that he wants. So there's no justice in that. So both the systems went off. Why? As I said, understand for the beginning, it had an expiry date. Until the expiry date, it was guarded, it was safe. So it was effective, it would give you the cure, the treatment, everything. But once it expired, now the same thing is going to be fatal. So if you want to hold to Christianity now, now it's your destruction. Hold on to Judaism, now it's going to be destruction. So the system that is fair for everybody is the system of Islam. And what Islam stands for? You surrender to Allah Ta'ala. That is what stands for. So surrendering is manageable to everybody. Surrendering, there can't be submission, there can't be a more fair system than submission. Can't be anything more fair than that. The Christians, how they went off, and the Jews, how they went off. See, when the Christians were given a day in the week to dedicate for the worship of Allah Ta'ala, they reasoned, you know, they employed their reasoning against the command of Allah Ta'ala. So now they took reasoning and they used it against the command of Allah Ta'ala. So when they used the reasoning against the command of Allah Ta'ala, they said, well, Allah Ta'ala commenced the process of creation on Sunday. So we will dedicate worship on a Sunday. Why? Because this was the day that Allah Ta'ala commenced the whole process of creation. That's right. So our hadith also says the same thing. Yawmul Ahad, everything starts off on Sunday. So they employed the reasoning against the command of Allah Ta'ala. Came to the Jew, he also employed his reasoning against the command of Allah Ta'ala. He said, well, Allah Ta'ala completed the whole process of creation on a Friday, so Saturday must be dedicated to Ibadat. So again, he used it. When it came to the Muslim, Muslim said, whatever Allah Pak says, I'm not in a position to reason against Allah Ta'ala, to employ my reasoning against the reasoning of, against the command of Allah Ta'ala. We know where. How can we employ our reasoning? What are we? All humanity, all creation put together, in comparison to the majesty, the greatness, the wisdom of Allah Ta'ala, nothing. Like a drop in the presence of an ocean. Any comparison? Absolutely no comparison. So when we have given ourselves to Allah Ta'ala, then there is no question about you then asking Allah Ta'ala why this and why not like this. That's not your place. So therefore the verse of the Quran says, وَلِكُلِّ وِجْهَةٌ. For each one is a direction that they will turn to. So now forget this discussion now. This discussion now, you don't need to go further with this discussion. So what must you do then? فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ. Now, you try and excel in good deeds. Try and see, because this discussion is futile. We have made it plain and clear to them. We have impressed upon them that the criteria is submission. And they don't want to come. They saying, oh, it's ancestral custom. So they don't want to listen. They don't want to understand. But they don't understand, are you going to dialogue, are you going to discuss with them, are you going to get anywhere? So leave that discussion completely. Leave it out. Do and focus towards something that's going to bring you some end. So what is that? فَاسْتَبِقُوا الْخَيْرَاتِ. Why? Why to excel in righteousness? Because أَيْنَمَا تَكُونُوا يَأْتِي بِكُمُ اللَّهُ جَمِيعًا. Wherever you be, Allah Ta'ala will bring you all together. Wherever you're going to come to Allah Ta'ala. So when you're going to come to Allah Ta'ala, when He's going to reassemble you, what is going to count by Allah Ta'ala is your righteousness. Now you're worried about ancestral custom, I am greater, you are greater, Fana is greater. Kya milega, kya fayda? You know, in India, they do the slaughterings mainly by hand, right? So, what you cut today, you eat today. So there's a lot of entrails and all. Everything is thrown about a kilometer out of the town and throw it out. So as they throw it down and they move away, you find vultures coming. Now the vultures got a certain tarteeb. One vulture will give a sound and all will sing in chorus after that. One will start off and everybody will sing in chorus. So the one that starts off, what he says, Idaram Sultan. My father, you are my father. He was a king. He was a mota. He was a great person. First person. So the rest of the vultures, this Murachya, Turach, so what? What must I do about it? Your father is a king, so what? Let it be now. It doesn't pay my rent. No benefit to me. You talking about ancestral superiority, etc. It doesn't bring any fire to me. It doesn't break any ice. So what's the need of talking about this thing? See how shaitan misleads.
Hey, my father was like this, my so and so was like this. But he did. Ummatun qad khalat, they passed. Laha ma kasabat. What they earned, they will receive. What you earned, you will receive. He just did it and he's gone. Your father was a tahajjud guzar, very good, mashallah. But what you did? Oh, father gave so much of khairat and he did all that. Very good about that. But then what did you do? You're talking about him. Very good, he did whatever he did, right? But you forgot the plot. He will earn what he works for and you will earn what you work for. You don't count on he is good. لَهَا مَا كَسَبَتْ وَلَكُمْ مَا كَسَبْتُمْ. What he worked for, he will get. What you work for, you will get. So we are talking about this verse. فَاسْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ. The first favor was Allah Ta'ala had blessed this ummah with the Baytullah. So, for a transitory period, you are asked to face the Baytul Muqaddas. Why? So that Nabi Sallam is the Imam and the Nabi of the Qiblatain. So this may be complete, perfect, right? And Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam may get the anwarat of both the maqamat, both these places, Baytul Muqaddas and Baytullah, all the anwarat. So he's the son of the entire world, the sun. So he has to have that type of brightness. He has to have that type of radiance. At 11 o'clock, right? At 11 o'clock, half past 11 in the day, when the sky is clear, there's no outcast, overcast, right? Do you need a glow? Do you need a light? If you bring about a light, say, what's wrong with you? Mad. It's so bright. It's so bright. 11 o'clock, half past 11. So Nabi Sam's light is like that. It's so bright. It covers everything. And the light is so beautiful that it permeates your own homes. You don't need to switch on the home, the light of the home also. The whole home is brightened. So that was the light of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam. So Allah Ta'ala's one favor was that He had blessed you and honored you with the Baytullah. Right. It's the Qibla of all the Anbiya. The second favor, أَرْسَلْنَا إِلَيْكُمْ رَسُولًا يَتْلُو عَلَيْكُمْ. Like we have done this favor, you have received this favor, we have also gave you another favor, we have sent a Rasul to you. يَتْلُو عَلَيْكُمْ آيَاتِنَا وَيُزَكِّيكُمْ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ الْكِتَابُ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. So now, in this verse here, Allah is saying, the first thing starting off with, يُزَكِّيكُمْ وَيُعَلِّمُكُمُ الْكِتَابَ وَالْحِكْمَةِ. Right. Starting off with Tazkiyah. So I was trying to wonder now, why does Allah start off with Tazkiyah? Tazkiyah refers to the purification. Right? It refers to the sanctification, purification. But why does Allah Ta'ala talk about purification? So the only reason that comes to my mind is that in proportion to the purification will your deeds get the value. See, purification, you purify, and to the extent you have purified, will your deed get the value? Alright, now you're saying purification, but this word is a little bit vague. Explain that. How do you get the purification? So, I'm a simple person. I try and give you a definition that's simple, that will sit in your mind, inshallah. Right? So, purification requires two things. Just two things. One, you are good to Allah Ta'ala. In anything you are doing, you're trying to do good. Your relationship, your ta'alluq with Allah Ta'ala, you're trying to keep it well. Everything, whatever you're doing, small or big, but your relationship with Allah Ta'ala, you're purifying. No, you're not allowing any type of obstacles between yourself and Allah Ta'ala. Small things, big things. No obstacles, no obstructions between your relationship. It's an absolutely clear, fine. It's an uninterrupted relationship. So your road to Allah Ta'ala is absolutely clear, perfect. So the first thing you are working towards, you are making effort towards, is to ensure that that relationship with Allah Ta'ala is good. So you're thinking good for Allah Ta'ala at all times. It's His duty, His namaz, rosa, whatever. So you're trying to doing it good. You will not be the perfect person, but you're trying. To come there, you're trying, you're making effort, you're You are endeavoring to come there. So you are trying to improve. This namaz is better than the previous, and the coming namaz will be better than this namaz. So you are trying to improve all the time. You went for Umrah, now you are trying to do it better than the previous time. And you will go, now you will try and work out where are the problem areas, and you will try to make a better Umrah than the previous one. Your time management, your speaking to people, your eyes, your ears, etc. Whatever you're going to be using, but you're trying to improve all the time. So you're improving your relationship with Allah Ta'ala, a good sound relationship. إِلَّا مَنْ أَتَى اللَّهَ بِقَلْبٍ سَلِيمٍ. So your relationship with Allah Ta'ala is good, it's clean, right? Clean relationship. By the same token, your relationship with people is also clean. It's not a half job that your relationship is only good with Allah Ta'ala, and your relationship with people is not good. So you don't want to get the perfect salah. Your relationship with people is affected, is tainted, right? And you want to have a nice relationship with Allah Ta'ala, you're not going to have it. Because how is it going to work? See, I guess see, what counts by Allah Ta'ala is the cleanliness, right? And the cleanliness has got a certain definition, not like what you think. So for that cleanliness and purification, one is you need to be clean with Allah Ta'ala, and the other you need to be clean with people. Now I'm making zikr, right? I'm making zikr, but in the zikr, I've got malice in my heart for you. Allah Pak, let's hope this person here, his business has just collapsed. Allah Pak, this person here is going for a holiday. In the holiday, Allah Ta'ala, let his child die. Allah Ta'ala, this person here is becoming too popular now. See, he's jumping too high. Just sit him down. I'm making zikr, Allah, Allah, I'm making a zikr. But in the process of making zikr, I ask you, is my heart clean or dirty? When the heart is dirty, so you're not going to enjoy the type of relationship that you expect. So if you want that sanctification and purification, then on the one end you have to maintain a clean relationship with Allah Ta'ala, right? On the other end, you need to maintain a clean relationship with people. Any person, small, big, whoever it is, but it's a clean, absolutely clean relationship. So I was telling some ulama, you know, that Molvi ka, Molvi ka zehn bhi Molviana hota hai. The brain of a Molana is also like a Molana. Brain also works like a Molana. So I want to do a haram, but the haram, I will try and legalize it. What? Make it halal. Now, you love so-and-so's wife you like, right? She's married now, you can't do anything about it. But she was in school with you, so you got that memory locked up in your mind. This girl, she was something, you know. So that thing is locked up in your mind. But now you can't get to her because she's someone else's marriage. Right. So you're going to do anything, it's going to be haram. Right. So now, your mind, as I say, as a mulana, your mind will work like a mulana. So you will think now, alright, you know how this thing will be legal, how it will be permissible. Say for example, just for example, hypothetical, right? Say for example, he dies, right? Then his wife will become available, right? Or say for example, he divorces his wife, right? Then his wife will become available. Right. When she becomes available, then I will propose, right? When I propose, then my proposal will be accepted. See, all the arguments he's putting together. And when my proposal is accepted, then what an enjoyment I will have. Now then you start fantasizing, see? But you see how the tartib, how the sequence of enjoyment. So now, I told one person was talking like that, but tomorrow, if this was permissible, right? What you're doing is permissible, then it's permissible for others also to do the same. If you are fantasizing about your wife, then, hey, Mohan, don't talk about it, please. My wife is out of the question. See that? So if it was permissible for you to fantasize like this, then it's permissible for Mr. Makiza also to think like that about your wife. So no, don't talk about it. It's so dirty that you're talking about. So for you it's clean, but for Mr. Makiza it becomes dirty. No. It's one Allah Ta'ala. Lana a'maluna wa lakum a'malukum. See that? So that clean relationship with Allah Ta'ala, clean relationship with people. And I showed you just now that if the relationship is not clean, then your deed is not getting that level of value. And you want that value, you know. You want that value, you must pick up a value, right? Extra value, right? Added value. In the business say added value, right? So when you want an added value, then this is how you add the value. You bring about the level of cleanliness and purification, and you add the value. Just add the value. It's so simple. So in anything that you are doing, now try and work it out. But you must add the value to it. I don't need to decrease the value, add the value to it. So you want to add the value. How you add the value? You see that the relationship is good. Anything that's going to disrupt that relationship, you stay clear of it. Don't get into it. Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Yaqub Sahib Rahmatullahi was the founder of Darul Deoband, right? One of the founders. So one person wrote a kitab, like how we write on Shiaism, Qadianism. So he wrote a kitab with the questions and the answers, the objections and the answers. So he wanted to circulate that book. So he gave it to Murad. Style in the past was, they didn't do things of their own. But elders go and find out from them. They got experience and they understand more than what you understand. They've seen more life than you have seen. For you to avoid any type of grief and remorse, present it to them. They will see to it, they will put the corrections and then give it to you. But you want to just take it and market it straight away, and then later on you discover there's problems and you can't reverse that thing. So the right thing is good. Present it to someone and then circulate the kitab. So he presented it to Muhammad Yaqub Sahib. Muhammad says, I'm not in agreement that you should publish this kitab. You know, Muhammad, 5 years it took me to get this kitab right. And now in one stroke he said, no, this kitab is out of circulation. No, you can't print it. So Muhammad explained to him, you see, an ishkal, right, ishkal or an objection, is easily understood. Why? The basis of an objection is ignorance. So I'm ignorant, you ignorant. So you can relate. Why? It's both on a common platform. You're on the same platform, so you can relate. Because you're ignorant, you will relate to ignorance. The question is based on ignorance. So when the question is based on ignorance, you can relate to it, right? So it's very likely that you will understand the objection. The ishkal you understand, and the answer is based on ilm. For you to understand, you need to have ilm, and you don't have the ilm, so you will not understand the ilm, but you will definitely understand the objection. Now that objection is deeply rooted in your mind. What's the answer to this? Dawan, what is the answer? What is the answer? So that is the, but what is the answer? How many people understand the answer? I will tell you safely, I will tell you that over 90% understood the Darwin, Ishkal, the problem, the objection, but less than 5% understood the answer. Is it a fact or not a fact? So once I don't put into this, because we know, Alhamdulillah, the grace of Allah, Allah, I speak to educated people and uneducated people. Even that are people that are educated, right, it doesn't mean that they are educated, they have the level of understanding. They have the education time, but you ask about them being well grounded, understanding concepts, etc. They don't have it. It's a different thing altogether. So the answer is based on ilm, and the objection is based on jahalat. So he will reason with the jahalat. He understands the jahalat very easily, but the understanding of the answer he will not. He will not. His mind may not just digest it. When his mind is not going to digest it, so you left him with a problem. Now he doesn't know where to go. Whatever I'm doing, that thing is before me now. Whatever I'm doing, that thing is before me. So his mind is not going to get deleted. It won't come clear. So rather don't write the kitab. So I'm just using this as an analogy. You say, what's wrong in looking at this girl just once? Right. It may be that the picture of that girl may be so deeply rooted in your heart that you can't delete it afterwards. So no, what's wrong? I just like to hear the words of the song, you know? Right? But that words of the song may be so deeply rooted You try whatever you want, but it's not getting deleted. You know, some years back, there was a chacha with a turban, long beard, I think maybe he was 75 or something, long kurta. So after the Jummah, he said, Mullah, you know that person's telephone, that ring that went, you know, that tone that went, I think took me to the 50s. It was one of the old Hindi songs here in the 50s, and this person, the phone tone was the same. But now see, is he in namaz or is he in music? Where is he? So the tone is there, and you took it now for you to delete it is an effort. See this type of gunas, this girlfriend relationship, this lust. So to take it is very easy, but to delete that memory, it's an effort. So don't go and interfere, don't go and experiment this. You think it's an easy thing, no, I'll put it on now and then I'll delete the thing. It's not so easy. That thing sticks with you, it sticks with you, and at the time that you don't need it, it comes and haunts you. One person told me, he's also about, I'll say about 67, right? So he tells me, you know what, I just looked at the phone once, you know. Something came up, something just popped up. Now I'm going to sajda, and I see that body of the girl in my sajda. Now, I'm afraid, now this man is telling me, I'm afraid if I have to die, and that girl's picture comes between me and the kalima, then what? That girl's picture comes between me and the kalima, then what? It's such a serious thing. We take this phone as a light thing, but I think over 80% of the people that I've spoken to, whether directly or indirect, however spoken to, as they got a phone with all the other additional facilities and features, their mind is definitely affected. Their mind, there's no two ways about it, their mind is definitely affected. Somehow or the other, they're affected. They can't think, they can't reason. So you just have to leave the discussion, leave it to the person now. Because the moment you get caught onto this thing here, and then you want to be a straight person, you want to have a clean heart, you can forget it. You know, for me, I still have to see someone. Though I see so many people, but I have to still see someone who's got a phone, he's always on the phone, and he's got a clear mind, his taluk with Allah is absolutely strong, unwarped, he can still reason properly. You know, it doesn't happen. That phone gives you that message, you either be mine or either be Allah Ta'ala. Make up your mind. If you want to be with Allah Ta'ala, you can't be with me. And Allah Ta'ala says, you want to be with the phone, you can't be with me. Make up your mind what you want. It's such a dangerous thing. For those people that do have it, I say, bye, just keep it at your workplace. Don't take it at home, don't keep it with you at all. No matter what it is. But don't keep it with you. Don't take it at home. Just keep it in your workplace. At the time there are other people around, do your business and move out. Don't ever keep it with you. It's such a disaster. Such a disaster. Before it was a disaster for men. Now it's a disaster for women as well. Nobody's safe. I think it got like a jadu effect. I'm sure it got a satanic effect, this thing here. Because it takes you. Mulana, no Mulana, Hafiz Saab, no Hafiz Saab, anybody. It will take you. It'll take you by the horn, then it'll maneuver you, it'll manipulate you however it wants to manipulate. So now I'm safe. I know my limits. I still have to find a person who knows his limits. Because from the reason you can make out, from the person's understanding and his reasoning you can make out that this person's reasoning is definitely affected. But I told him once, enough, you did your duty now, then you must continue. Wo jaana apna kaam jaane. Your mind is definitely warped. So you will see that thing, then it's going to affect you. Now this man is an ordinary, simple layman, right? But he's true that I'm worried now that I'm seeing this, right? Although it's my business, but that thing is popping up. And then it's having such a disastrous effect. So anyway, Allah Pak is enumerating his favors. فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ. Remember me, and I will remember you. So you remember Allah Ta'ala enumerating his favors, and he will remember you by blessing you. So you remembered him, thinking, alright, Allah Pak favored me like this, he favored me like this, he favored me like this. And then he will favor you. How he will bless you? How he will remember you? By pouring his favors upon you. فَذْكُرُونِي أَذْكُرْكُمْ. That's why Abu Usman Nahdi rahmatullah alayh, he says, I know the time that Allah Ta'ala remembers me and the time that Allah Ta'ala doesn't remember me. He remembers me when I remember him. Fazkuruni azkurkum. Fazkuruni azkurkum. So I know exactly when Allah Ta'ala is remembering me, when Allah is thinking of me. But now, when we talk about zikr, then we have got a very, very narrow understanding of zikr. What do we feel? Sunnah masjid or sit one place and make zikr. That's one aspect, one aspect of zikr. It's not complete zikr. So complete zikr, what is it? What's complete zikr? مَنْ يُتِعِ اللَّهِ فَقَدْ ذَكَرَ اللَّهِ. The one that remembers Allah Ta'ala, then he is in the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. The one that obeys Allah Ta'ala, he is in the remembrance of Allah Ta'ala. He doesn't obey Allah Ta'ala, he is drinking wine, right? Say, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, Subhanallah, Alhamdulillah, shaking his head, Subhanallah, and he's drinking wine. Is that zikr there? He's indulging in interest, Alhamdulillah, see, so much of barakat, Alhamdulillah. يُخَافُ أَيُكَفَّرْ. خطرے کی بات ہے بھائی. خطرے کی بات ہے. It's not zikr, that is kufr. That يُخَافُ أَيُكَفَّرْ. I did this, so much I've got, so much of barakat, Alhamdulillah. So he's saying Alhamdulillah, but what he's doing is kufr. So now zikr has got a certain definition. We don't understand the definition, therefore we say pulling that tasbih is zikr. So you conform to the definition that you are in zikr. Don't conform to the definition that you're not in zikr. Now there's some examples that they give to show what is the meaning of the conformity of zikr, right? Understand what it means to conform to zikr. So you in obedience, then you in zikr. One Indian poet, he heard about a Persian poet. So he speaks about Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, so high he speaks. So the Indian poet was overwhelmed. It's supposed to see how great he speaks about Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I must go and meet this Persian poet. So he undertook the journey. Very great. The whole world knows about this Persian poet, such a great person, intelligent person, poetry and kings, monarchs, everybody, they are impressed with him. So he undertook the journey to go and meet him. So as he comes to meet him, then this Persian poet is shaving his beard. So this Indian poet asks him, it was a time where you could make Amar bil Ma'ruf and Nahi and Munkar openly. Person was doing wrong, you didn't have to use so much of democracy. No, you don't have to manipulate and democracy. You just tell him straight, but what are you doing? Now, if you use so much of democracy, that sometimes you miss the point also. So much of democracy, philosophy, so much you used. That person also fails to understand really what you're getting at. So it was a simple time, so they could get straight to the person. By Aka Chemikuni. So what are you doing? So his answer was, says, Risham mitarasham, lakin dile kasena mitarasham. He says, yes, I am shaving of my beard, but I'm not hurting anybody. So his definition of deen and zikr was what? Not to hurt. Be good to everybody, be kind to everybody. That's the meaning of zikr, that's the meaning of deen. So the definition was incorrect. What he meant, what he defined deen as, he defined deen as being good with everybody, kind, courteous. That's the meaning of deen. Yes, being kind and courteous is a part of deen, but that doesn't encapsulate the entire deen. So this Indian poet is correcting the Persian poet. Says, Dile kase na mitarashi, walakin dile Rasool Pak sallam mitarashi. You might be hurting anybody's heart, but definitely without doubt you're hurting Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam's heart. So as I say, in the past what used to happen, people were straight, clear. So you didn't need to use so much of democracy and philosophy and all that. you would go straight to the point. So this Persian poet also understands, he's clear, his heart is clear, he's good at heart. Because he's good at heart, straight away he says, Jazakallah, chashmam baz mi kuni. Bajane jana wasal mi kuni. He says, Jazakallah, Jazakallah, you have opened my eyes. Jazakallah, are you opening my eyes? You have joined me to the beloved. Jane jana, you have linked me up to the beloved. I didn't know that this was not the definition. I thought just being good to everybody, that's the definition of deen. But now I understood that this is just one obligation of deen. The greater obligation is to be good to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. I've been good to people, but I haven't been good to Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Is that fair? Is that right? You're good to everybody, but you're swearing your life. Is that being good? He said, no, he's a very good person, gentleman. But seeing his house, how is he behaving? So this zikr, Islam has to be defined and defined correctly. What is the meaning of Islam? Just submit yourself. No matter what your mind says, what your heart says. If this countering, counter answering, right? You counter someone. If that was an act of intelligence, then the first person that would have done it was Ibrahim alayhi salam. He would ask Allah Ta'ala, you know, you instructed me to slaughter my son. Usme tumhara kya fayda hai? How do you gain to benefit? And I also can't benefit because this is human being, so I can't eat. I can't eat this, no benefit for me. No benefit for you also. So what's the good of me slaughtering this? Could he use his reasoning? Did he use his reasoning? And couldn't he use, he could use this, he could have used, employed his reasoning. But he said, no. This is a command of Allah Ta'ala. I don't understand the philosophy behind it. But I understand that this is a command of Allah Ta'ala. And Allah Ta'ala's command will definitely be filled to capacity with wisdom. Maybe I can't understand it. But if I can't understand it, doesn't mean that there's no wisdom in it. It's filled to capacity with wisdom. I might just do it. And in time, I will unravel the wisdom. I'll unravel all the philosophy. But for now, I don't need to know it. And even if I don't know it in future, it's not a big deal. Yes, I need to understand. Have I executed the command of Allah? This is what He commanded. Have I executed and accomplished the command of Allah? Now this submission, see, surrendering, this is what it requires. And you don't ask a question. It's a command of Allah. All I need to know, is it a command of Allah Ta'ala or not? If it's a command of Allah Ta'ala, I must just do it. So I don't want to ask any questions. Otherwise, it goes against the fabric of love. Your wife tells you, right, you know, you're going to Dubai, so you must get me that diamond ring, you know, as a token of love. So, will you ask her 10 questions? You know, is the ring here? Kya faida? Pet mein nahi jayega. You can't eat this thing, yeah? So what's the faida in this thing? Will you ask that question? Say, no, darling, how many you want? 2 or 3? Although you know, no faida. No faida. They're just going to stay in that almari or that wardrobe. No faida in that. But you'll make sure you bring it. So, love, this is what love requires. That you don't question the authority of Allah Ta'ala, just give yourself. We're moving towards Ramzan, then Bakrayat, etc. This is a lesson. Just listen to Allah Ta'ala, submit, close your eyes and just listen. You see, dunya aur akhirat ki falah hai.